everyone, that was James Saunders over in South Africa with Fish Fever, one of his first songs that we played on Big Blend Radio. And we're very excited to have him here. He's going to be here for a couple seconds so that he can chat with Chef Ivan Flowers, who's on the show, again, one of our first guests. Here we are celebrating 15 years of Big Blend Radio, 25 years of the magazines with some crazy, crazy people, and 10 years of traveling the country. But here it is. We've got Fish Fever, and I know Chef Ivan has cooked a ton of fish. He's a five-star chef, a culinary instructor, working with kids in Temecula in the high school there, and he's going to be talking to us about a filet mignon recipe for Valentine's Day, but we got James here who has a question for him. But welcome back, Chef Ivan. How are you?
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
We're good.
Good, good. Hey, listen, thanks for waiting so long to get on the show, because I know it's an anniversary party, and, you know, we have champagne, and, you know what happens. But welcome back. It's so good
Thank
to have you.
It's
awesome to have you back. James is over in Cape Town, South Africa, and he apparently caught a octopus.
An octopus,
and,
yeah.
That's
and
correct.
So you have a question for Chef Ivan, so go for it.
Yes. So thinking about that song, Superpowers, I think fishing definitely falls into my superpower. Ambit.
That's your superpower, fishing. Thank you for bringing that back around. Yep.
No problem. Yes. Okay, so Ivan, I'm no chef to speak of, but I do, you know, cooking is a huge hobby of mine. I absolutely love it, and I love trying new things, and particularly when it comes to seafood. And I caught an octopus this morning. I've been doing some research into how to cook it. You know, people just recommend boiling it with various ingredients for 30 minutes or so, and then letting it cool down, and it's kind of ready. I think the question I have is, what are the ways in which you can present it or serve it with? What would you serve it with, and how would you, you know? But I've got a few things going through my mind, like mushroom risotto, or within a salad, or just you know, fried up with some herbs and onions and garlic, and maybe some white wine, or in a white wine sauce served on a bed of rice. Or is there anything you can recommend in terms of how you would present, or how you would, how you present an octopus?
Yeah.
You
yes,
said that.
First.
You said how to present an octopus. I'm sorry. That's funny.
Sorry, I didn't come out correctly.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. Sorry, Ivan, go ahead. Sorry,
no,
we're just
cool.
being
it's
champagne-y.
Okay. Well, the thing you want to do with octopus, you can serve it many, many, many ways. The thing you want to do is you want to get an octopus tender.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of ways you can do that. I first learned how to cook octopus on the island of Patos in the Greek Isles, where they used to take it from the boats, and they would slap it against the rocks and keep slapping it to make it tender. You don't have to do that, although there are some people that will put it in a mixer with a paddle, and they'll do it that way to try to tenderize it. The best way to do it, some people put it in a pressure cooker with some liquid. I like to basically make a very light stock with a little bit of lemon and tomato or a tomato sauce, and you want to simmer it. You want to simmer it very gently for about 2 to 2.5 hours until the octopus gets very, very soft. At that point, you want to take it out, and what I like to do is if you're going to grill it, you're going to take shallots and garlic and herbs and spices. You're going to marinate it for a number of hours. Then you're going to finish it on the grill. You can serve it in pieces, or you can slice it. Another nice way to do it is once it's tender, you want to do what's called a frutta di mare, where you mix it with all the other, you know, pieces of white fish, mussels, scallops, and you finish it with a light citrus vinaigrette, a touch of tarragon, a little bit of sea salt. You can serve it chilled. You can do a frutti di mare warm if you want to use a red sauce, a checca or a marinara. But the whole trick is getting octopus tender, because if it's not tender, it's not going to eat well. It's going to be a turnoff.
Okay, very interesting. So that's the main thing. The way you serve it is, there's a million ways you can serve it, but the big thing is getting it tender. So you say lemon juice, tomato, garlic. Which was it?
Tomatoes, garlic, shallots.
And then hot water, and just soak it for 2-3 hours.
Yes, on a low simmer.
But you don't
want it where it's falling apart. You want it where it's fork tender.
Yes. Okay.
Do you eat the whole octopus, like the legs and the head, or just the head, or just the legs?
Good question.
You're just going to use the legs. Yeah.
Just the legs.
The tentacles.
You're just going to use the tentacles. Yeah, you take the head off, and you also take the beak out, which is in the center region. You don't want the beak. And I honestly, after watching my octopus teacher and seeing how intelligent and wonderful creatures they are, I don't cook them anymore.
That's like the lobster. It's like the lobster thing about how you boil them and throw them in, and it's like a whole weird thing. But your octopus is dead at this point, right? It's like when you kill. Okay.
Oh no.
So that's
all. Oh no.
No.
There are some people that catch them live and right off the boats, and they go into the liquid, and they're very much alive. Oh yeah.
Oh. Oh, wow. So it's like a second. It's like a holding tank of death.
Oh wow.
Like to me, I think you should kill it right away, so you don't have a holding tank.
You know,
the holding tank sucks.
You put the octopus on a plate with its legs spread out. And you put hors d'oeuvres on every leg from the head down to the tip. That's
No. Because you have to make the legs tender. They have to be tender.
It's known as pulpo. Octopus is known as pulpo. And I loved it for years. I love cooking pulpo. So, very big in the Mediterranean.
Yes, yeah.
Is it good for you?
Do you skin it or do you not skin it?
No, you don't have to. It's high in cholesterol. You know, it's high protein, but very high cholesterol.
Oh,
octopus.
Yeah.
So you have to be a little careful.
Mm. Okay.
Well, I mean, you're going to talk about filet mignon just now, and that's, you know, that's careful. But, you know, that's a little different. But, I mean, but then there's the squid thing. Do you have to, there's the squid ink. Like, you know, isn't there like a thing you have to be careful with
octopus?
Yeah,
there's a sack. There's a sack sometimes, and people will use that to make sauces or to dye pasta. You know, there's octopus, and then there's something called calamare, which is squid, which is, you know, quite different. And most Americans eat that fried.
The little rings and the
tentacle heads, Or a light tempura, and then finish it with a little fresh squeezed Meyer's lemon.
James is such a fisherman. He is. I mean, we played Fish Fever, and he's like Silver Ghost. His song is also about fishing, and James, that's awesome, man. So you're going to have to show us what you cook on social media. I know you're like, screw social media right now, but we want to see. We all want to see. Just send it to me, and I'll post it.
I'll send a picture, okay.
We want a picture of what you do.
We want
a picture. Okay. It's awesome.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, listen, I know it's late in South Africa. Oh, go ahead, Ivan.
You want to get tentacles. You want to serve tentacles with double rows of suckers. Those are the better ones, not the single ones. You want the tentacles to have double.
Now I thought we're at the White House.
If you want double rows of suckers, just talk politics.
Yes,
okay.
Actually, our White House is doing
those are good tips.
Good tips
to take them to heart.
Well, we want to see the picture. We want the picture of the sucker.
Do you mean there's two suckers in one place? How do you, double rows of suckers? What does that mean?
Well, that would be the political parties.
Right.
Yeah, there, that's what I'm saying. I shouldn't say the White House. I would just say, you know, no. But, yeah, there you go.
Oopsie.
I want to see the double sucker.
What do you mean? Like two suckers in one place? What do you mean double
rows? Yeah, as you come down basically the legs.
Yeah.
Instead of a single suction cup, there's two next to one another, and it comes down the entire leg, the tentacle. Yeah.
Oh, huh. Two sucker legs at one time. I have nothing more to say.
Childish. Come on, it's a Champagne Sunday show. We're going to get childish about this. Oh, well, I didn't know there was a sucker cup.
Well, we don't eat fish
even.
Because we're allergic to all forms of fish and shellfish. So
but
it's a unknown topic.
It's a whole new world to listen
I'm
to you guys
go
talking
to
about sucker cups
look
and
octopus
and tenderizing the tentacles and everything. It's just very interesting. But, James, it sounds like you're going to have a really good dinner tomorrow night. I know it's really late now in South Africa, but it sounds like you're going to have an interesting dinner tomorrow night.
Yeah, I hope so. I think so. I think it's going to be good. I've done my research.
Show us your tentacles when
work.
You're done. Before you eat it. We want to see it beforehand. So
can we have
it
a
out.
Photograph of the double rows of suckers?
That's why I said
yeah,
we want the double.
I'll put that in as well. Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I want to see.
All right, James, thank you so much for joining us. I know it's late, and we really appreciate it that you're on our show today, our party show. And his superpower really is fishing. And if you see his photos on Facebook and in all of that, you see South Africans with it's angling. You guys are anglers, right?
From what
I remember.
Fishermen,
yeah, you're out on the beach with long – and I've swum out where you guys do that, and it's hardcore. It's hardcore stuff, and much appreciation for what you do. And
we do a lot of releasing of fish as well. You know, that's also important.
The next time you come on our show, we're going to talk about the stiff armadillo, and I'm not saying any more.
No,
about
that's
that right
no,
now.
That's Taylor. That's Taylor.
Oh, that's Taylor. What is the stiff armadillo?
We'll deal with. Well, James can come back on, and so can Ivan. With talk about armadillos. There's an armadillo cake that we can all make and send it to Natchitoches, Louisiana, since Steel Magnolias was filmed there, and they have an armadillo. We saw the armadillo cake when we were there the last time. Mm-hmm. The winning for the anniversary of Steel Magnolias film, the armadillo cake. And Nancy and I wanted to make one, but that didn't happen. But
That's the one where Tom Skerritt in the movie Steel Magnolias cut the tushy off and looked at, I forget her name, Shirley MacLaine, and said,
he
nothing better
there.
Than a piece of ass.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
A very famous line in that movie.
Right. And so we were going to make the armadillo cake during COVID time, you know, in lockdown, but we never did. Because grocery stores took things off the shelves. That is funny. That is funny. But Tracy would be able to make that, right? Your wife, Tracy.
An armadillo cake? Yeah, she can make an armadillo cake.
She's a baker. She gets that.
James,
she's
a baker,
have a good
among
night.
Many things.
Yes. Thank
she's
you.
She's awesome. She's just
take
awesome.
Take care, James. Good luck.
Thanks, James.
Thanks for the advice, and thanks very much for having me. Happy anniversary again. And
thank
you. Look forward to chatting in the future.
Yes, absolutely. You come back on anytime. I mean, we love James. He's just an amazing musician and just an amazing guy. So, Chef Ivan, thank you for joining us.
Good
seriously,
night.
I know it's so late in South Africa right now.
Yeah.
Go to bed. Go to bed and drink some sleepy time tea. But put a shot of whiskey in there. Chef Ivan, you know the party bus is at you in San Diego, and Priscilla, the Pink Sox Monkey, does want to make you a drink or something. What would you like for a champagne brunch for you?
What I would drink at a champagne drink brunch?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what would you eat and drink?
You know what I would like? I don't drink them a lot, but once in a while, in a tall glass, perfectly made a good Bloody Mary with fresh horseradish Mm-hmm. Right amount of lemon, just a touch mm-hmm. of horseradish, you know, mm-hmm. good fresh tomato mm-hmm. juice. They're wonderful. And when you make them right, memorable. I can only drink one, but love it.
Mm. What would you eat with it?
I would do like canapes. I would do little hors d'oeuvres.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I would do like little roasted artichokes or little toast with mascarpone and prosciutto and a little lemon zest or a roasted stuffed mushroom.
Ooh, I like the stuffed mushrooms.
Or potato chips with caviar.
Oh.
Ooh.
Huh.
Mm.
Ooh. So you sent us the recipe for the filet mignon, and it is like you got mushrooms in that photo. So that's kind of what I was thinking. It's So I'm cool. Like, that's good. Well, Nancy does that for breakfast for us. She does a very nice. That's what I was saying with the Bloody Mary. I saw those mushrooms in there, and I'm like, that's Nancy does good. She stuffs it with garlic and cheese, and we just got this new olive oil. Oh my gosh. It's interesting about olive oil, you know, and we're tasting olive oil. So okay, you taste it, but then you cook with it and your mushrooms and onion changes into a whole and the garlic changes into the olive. It was Olive Mill Creek. And it's near where you guys, and it's so funny because when I was emailing Tracy about you coming on the show, I screwed up the time, and obviously I had even more on the time, but I thought about you guys in Sedona because that's when you were on the show, when you had Forno's Restaurant out in Sedona.
Right.
I mean, that was 15 years ago. And I went to Arizona time for you guys because it was just like, it's the anniversary show, this is when, you know. But do you remember, I don't know if that they were there then at the same time, but olives are being grown in Arizona, apparently.
Yeah, they do some nice oils,
Yeah, and as soon as I cooked it, and listen, I made flatbread pizza, which we've done, you know, you taught me to cook, don't put the onions and the garlic and the mushrooms raw on the pizza. And you know, we do flatbread, like the non bread or whatever. We'll just take that and I'll put like a little pizza sauce on it. But I now start cooking. I cook just barely, right? Just a little bit of sizzle. And I did it with the olive oil. Just a light saute of the mushrooms, garlic, and onion. And my God, that was amazing. And doing it with olive oil, and that olive oil was really good, by the way. But it was like this. It's like wine tasting almost with this olive oil thing.
Oh yeah.
So I was gonna ask you.
When I was in the industry, I tasted olive oils constantly. Mm. I'd have the purveyor come in. It was Ariete, and he would come in with 6, 7, 8 bottles, and we always did it with a plastic spoon.
Mm.
And the range on olive oils and extra virgin are amazing. Some of them are a little clear. Some of them are very green. Usually an olive oil that's extra virgin you want to finish with. A regular olive oil you want to cook with. I always used to use a Lungarian olive oil from the north central region of Italy up by Tuscany, which are world renowned for their olive oils.
But then when you taste the olive oil, are you heating it up at all? Because what's in the bottle, straight out of the bottle, and when you heat it, seems to taste different.
It does. Once you heat anything, it tastes different. Again, extra virgin you finish with, regular you cook with.
Mm-hmm.
Depends what you're making, you know, but it is such a range of olive oils. And then, you know, from all over the country, and all of them taste different.
Well, it's interesting in your recipe now, and everyone, rosemary glazed pan roasted filet mignon, and that's up on blendradioandtv.com right now. Just go on there and type in filet, type in Chef Ivan filet, Chef Ivan's filet. You'll see it'll come up in the search box. It's interesting that you're cooking this. It's pan roasted, but you're using, and you preheat the oven to 400 degrees. I'm so scared to go beyond 325. I'm such a baby.
Oh.
I'm scared of it. But
well, remember,
I'm learning.
Remember, anything under 350 is considered baking. Mm-hmm. Roasting is 350 and above.
Yeah.
So you want to put it in a hot oven to finish it. That's really the secret. You want to season, you know, when you think about a filet mignon, in the short loin with beef, are your four biggest cuts. You've got your New Yorks, your porterhouse, and your T-bones. Mm-hmm. Porterhouse and T-bone is in New York with a filet attached. So when they take a filet mignon out of a steer, all they're left with is bone-in or boneless New Yorks. That's why they're so expensive. And there's only two per steer. It lays within the fat pocket of the short loin. It gets no exercise. So the meat is incredibly tender, but you have to know how to season it. Otherwise, you won't get flavor. People buy it for tenderness, but you have to cook it the right way and put flavor into it to really make it a successful dish.
So when you put something in the oven like this, like because we house sit all over the country now, and we've been in a whole bunch of kitchens.
Oh, we need to do a show on that. That's a whole other segment.
And cooking in people's kitchens is a trip. When you go to put, like, the levels of the oven, sometimes the when you open the oven, it's always a good surprise. Sometimes it's right under the flame, and you can move it a couple notches down, so it's not right by the flame.
Well, that's a broiler. That's a broiler. That's top heat, known as a broiler or a salamander.
Yeah.
A regular oven, it's either a block oven or it has a convex in it, which is a fan. The other one is a broiler.
Okay.
Oh, because they have a top oven. They have a top oven, and then it goes, you can broil or bake or do, it's like this low thing. And when you cook in it, you can do the bake. So now I know why my pizza doesn't always work the way I want. But I'm scared to put it on
like
broil because I'm like, you're going to flame the pizza. Because I'm thinking top oven, keep it light, light, you know, because it's just a pita bread, basically, non-bread pita bread, and a few mushrooms on it. You don't need to bake in the big oven. Go to the top.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says broil, and I'm like, oh, I'm scared.
Whoopsie.
I don't want to cause What would, I mean, you know, it's kind of interesting because there's a lot of houses now with these
two-level ovens,
and,
like the boiler.
Yeah. It's weird. It's not weird. It's cool because, you know, like you're not roasting a chicken in the top, right? It's low thing. So it's more like a broiler, like you're saying, but you can still bake on it. It's like, it may be cookies. I don't know. It's kind of, it's so small.
When they do steaks commercially in restaurants, very famous steakhouses, they use broilers, and they're about 1,600 degrees.
Wow.
So the steak is put in, and it's very important. You always leave your steaks out for at least a half an hour. You don't want to go in ice cold. And they'll put them under those broilers just for maybe 2 minutes aside, and they'll flip them, and you'll get a nice char. And then the steak, especially when it's if it's still on the bone, will keep cooking. So you have to pull it out a temperature before. Because as it's sitting on the plate, it's still going. You're still going to add another 10 degrees to that. So actually cooking meat is quite a challenge.
And that's the thing with the filet. It's interesting, too, because you say, okay, you went and bought your filet, right? And so is this a filet that's going to feed two people, or are you doing two filets?
You're going to do two filets. Usually
two
an filet. 8 ounce is a really nice cut. And you want it completely clean. You want it to look like a hockey puck. There's no fat around the outside. There's a chain which you want to take off, and you want to make it look perfectly cylindrical and a little flat. And when it goes on the plate, it has to look like a picture. So a lot of times I would cut them and hand form them so they were just a perfect round disc. That will give you cooking and give you a center that's going to come out perfect.
Wow.
So I noticed in your recipe you use unsalted butter, but then you add salt.
Right. You don't want salt in the butter. Otherwise, it'll be too salty. Meat, you want to, especially filet mignon, you want to add a lot of salt. Okay. And sometimes pepper, sometimes not. It's up to you. You can finish. What's very important is you're searing it, and you're putting a little bit of oil in the pan. You're searing it on both sides. You're finishing it in the oven. Now, when that comes out, you have some of the oil that's still in the pan.
Mm-hmm.
When you put the butter in, remember, regular butter, unless it's clarified, burns at 210. That butter will then mix with that oil. So you have a higher smoke point, and then you can put in rosemary or thyme, fresh, that infuses in the butter, and then you keep spooning it over the filet, and all of that meat juice, the herbs, the butter, the salt, the pepper, then glaze the filet mignon. And you have to let it rest for at least 4, 5, 6 minutes. If you cut into it and it's too hot, all the juice is going to come out and it's going to turn gray. So it's important to let it rest.
Wow.
That's
making me hungry.
That's, because you even say to let the meat rest when you take it out of the fridge, even before you cook it. You need to let it get to
half an hour. Yeah.
Because I think a lot of us will just take things out of the fridge and just throw it in the pan.
Throw it in the pan. And then that's
are we
when
doing,
you get...
Why, I mean, what is that a... Like, it needs... What I mean, doesn't it get to room temperature once you start heating things up, or no?
No.
No. On the outside, it'll warm up. The inside will stay ice cold.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody wants a filet mignon blue, where they want it literally mooing and very raw, like raw in the middle, that's when you're going to do it cold. Because they want it blue. Other than that, like if you were doing a turkey and it was like 20, 25 pounds, you would pull it and let it sit for 2 to 3 hours before you even went in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow. So this is, the resting thing, it's interesting on the before and the after, right, about what you're doing. You know, you're resting the meat before you put it in the pan. You're resting it once it comes out because that's something you always talk about. You have to let the meat rest before you serve it. And, you know, all of us at home will go, oh, it's out. Let's cut it and serve. And you're always about let it rest. What that has has to is it like wine that it has to breathe?
It has to relax. It has to relax. The
it
muscle
has
to,
calm
to relax.
Down.
You know, it's interesting. I have a good friend of mine. He's a big foodie from Florida, Walt Blenner. So he's quite a foodie. He's listening to your show today. So we both wish
Hi,
you a
Walt.
Very nice happy anniversary.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But, you know, so what he knows about resting the food, he's into that rest it, let it rest.
Yeah,
Florida,
if he doesn't, he does
rest
now.
In Florida, it's warm. It's warm.
Right,
right
it's
now,
warm,
I'd like to be
warmer in Florida.
Right now, my body would go, I could rest and you could cook me. I got a lot of meat. But this is really cool. But this is interesting, and you use canola oil. So why... Like we were starting to talk about olive oil. Why canola versus olive oil?
You can use the regular olive oil.
I mean canola oil and butter, which is interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. Why the two?
You use the butter to again when the oil comes out, butter burns at 210. So by mixing it, you're infusing the oil into the butter, so that won't burn and get brown. Otherwise, you'll get what's called the beurre noisette. And you can use olive oil, but you don't want to use a strong olive oil because it can very easily take over the taste of the beef. Now, some people will drizzle a little extra virgin olive oil on top. Or some people will make a filet mignon and put what's called the maitre d' butter, which is a chilled disc of butter with herbs in it.
Right.
And let that melt on the steak as it comes to your table. So it's just melting all through the top.
And I know we've touched on this before, but sometimes like they do the blue cheese and then like a bacon thing on top. But when you're doing a filet mignon, doesn't it kind of, I mean, blue cheese is great. I mean, I'm not anti that at all.
Bacon,
all of that. But these are really strong flavor profiles when you put it on this piece of meat that's supposed to be so great, right?
Right.
So are we tasting the meat anymore if we're putting that on, or do we just put a smidgen? Like, where are we on that?
You don't use too much. You're introducing umami. Blue cheese is umami. It's the fifth profile. So that blue cheese really wakes that meat up, and it works incredibly well together. And then if you have a good wine that goes with that, all three of them just explode in your mouth.
Because I think the wine calms down the blue cheese.
But you don't want to put a lot. You just put a little, teeny bit.
Yeah.
The overdoing of blue cheese is death. Mm-hmm. It's not good. It's not good.
Well, you can do a blue cheese butter. You can put the blue cheese in the butter, chill it, cut a little slice, and then just put the Maitre d' blue cheese butter on top of the filet when it comes out and just let
it
melt.
That.
I like that.
I like
that. That sounds good.
I like that idea. That's a balance. That's a nice balance. Mm. So, Chef Ivan, what is your champagne toast?
My champagne toast goes out to all people over the last couple of years working in restaurants, catering, food trucks, hospitals, implant feeders, cooking with masks on, cooking on the line, putting the hours in. Really making it memorable for people. It's not an easy profession.
No.
And anybody that cooks, so many people now, they'll order, you know, the home box meals, and that's it for them. People that cook are really, really doing something that is very passionate and very loving. So my hat goes off to all of those folks.
Yeah.
What is
sure.
your superpower?
My superpower, my wife always tells me this, and it's helped me through my career, is my sense of smell.
Ooh,
I taste everything.
I like it.
I taste everything through my nose. So a lot of times I know if something's going to burn 3 days before it actually happens.
Oh,
I'm very keyed in with my nose. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Put him in a forest. But listen, it is so good to have you back on the show. Thank you for joining us. We owe Taylor Joyner a segment because we were supposed to play You Love, but we didn't. Mm-hmm. And we're going to play music by Doreen Taylor as we close the show down. Of course, we're always delayed. We're not good at these live shows anymore. We just keep getting delayed because we love all of the people that are on the show. We just want to keep talking
there
to everyone. Music is My Magic is the first, I think, the first time Doreen Taylor came on our show, and we want to give a toast to her. Nancy, I know I'm toasting to her right now. That's my toast today is old friends, new friends, and Doreen is one of them over the shows. We've never met her in person. We did get to meet Chef Ivan and Tracy in person with Crystal the Sock Monkey. We did get to do that on our tour, which is amazing. And Doreen, hopefully we'll see you too, but we want to toast to you. And we're going to toast with the song Music is My Magic. She came on this show, one of our Champagne Sunday anniversaries, with her album, new album, Magic. And so it just makes sense that we play Music is My Magic. So we're going to close the show with that. And we want to thank you, Chef Ivan. Thank you for joining us. It's always
you,
so
Chef.
Much fun. We've missed you. It feels like it's been years, but it's not that bad. I know, man. It's like, But thank you for joining us. Thank you, everyone. Here it is. And shout out to Tracy and Pickle. We heard Pickle.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye. Here it is. Music is My Magic from Doreen Taylor. Keep up with her at DoreenTaylorMusic.com. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thank you, guests. Thank you, listeners. We love you all. And our toast goes to you for being part of our journey. And here we go. And after this, we're going to run out in the sunshine and have a little more wine, right, Nancy? A little more champagne.
I'm halfway
so
there.
There it is. Here it is. Music is my magic. Thank you, Doreen.